This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Hi, everyone. My name is Captain Adam, and this is The Adam Ritz Show. Jay, you don't have to call me Captain. But I do have a captain's hat on right now.
Well, I'm with you. This is the season of captains. You know, you think in terms of taking a nice cruise somewhere or heading to the Caribbean, you know, hanging out. You want a captain figure to pilot the boat so I can sit in the back and just enjoy the trip.
Let me drive the boat and you just enjoy yourself. Jay Baker is joining us. We're talking public affairs and trying to have a good time doing it. Jay, I came across this story, and it just makes me tired reading it. There's a guy in England, a young guy, 23 years old. His name is Henry Moores. He's in America right now running 50 marathons in 50 states to raise awareness for children that are battling cancer. So first of all, my tip of my captain's hat to young Henry Moores for what he's doing to raise awareness for children and children's cancer. But running 50 marathons in 50 different states, insane.
Yeah, I too, during my research, came across this story as well.
Oh, you did? Yeah.
And you're absolutely correct. I mean, it's a monumental feat. There's no question about it. But, you know, it's a sense of adventure. The guy is very good on social media. In fact, if you're looking him up, he goes under the name Henry Oscar Moores. And that's like Moore with an S on the end. So definitely worth a look up. And as you said, he's doing it for the greater good. It's for cancer research in England. So he's kind of turning his U.S. adventure into a fundraiser and also presenting himself with a pretty amazing challenge.
And the other part of this story, Jay, that just blows me away is that he said he didn't even train for this.
I know.
Now, I'm not bragging, but in my younger days, I did run the Chicago Marathon. I trained for months. I had to train for months to run one marathon, and here's this kid that never trained, just decided to run 50 marathons. So it's inspiring on all levels, and hopefully everyone listening, by the end of today, we hope that you can run at least one marathon, whether it's for a charity or not. Best of luck to everybody hitting the streets this weekend.
Anybody that's out running. You know, I thought this was a great number, and it makes sense. I've always felt sort of a guilty pleasure that as I got older, there were still a handful of video games that I really enjoyed and I still played. And I thought, boy, I am like a cantankerous old guy, but, you know, I'm still holding on to my PlayStation. Well, they are now saying that 2/3 of Americans play video games for at least an hour a week. And that means everybody from kids to grandparents.
Yeah, that's a big number, 2/3 of Americans. But, you know, I'm impressed that the number is only 1 hour per week, because I know there are people that play 6 or 7 hours per day.
Well, it's listed here, Adam, as an hour or more of video games. So, but your point's well taken. I myself try to limit it to about an hour and a half a day because I am aware that, yes, sitting on my couch and playing for 18 hours is not perhaps doing myself much good.
What?
But it was interesting that they said they are playing an hour or more. That's 212 million people across the country between the ages of 5 and 90 who were gaming every week.
Now, does Wordle count as playing a video game? Because I do that.
Well, it is. There is a digital version of it. So, yeah, I mean, I guess technically.
If it doesn't count, which it probably doesn't, I'm one of the 1/3 of Americans that does not play video games. What is your game? What are you playing for 90 minutes every day?
I love Madden, and then I discovered a game called Formula One Manager where, you know, once again, why are these games spellbinding? Because I love Formula One racing, and this one allows you to be the manager of your team. And this comes at a time, you probably have heard this, there's greater American involvement in Formula One than we've had in a long time. There's a brand new Formula One team. It is technically badged to Cadillac, and it's being run by members of the racing team for Michael Andretti.
Huh. Well,
Americans are engaged along with Team Haas, who are out of the Carolinas. So four of the 22 cars in Formula One now are American.
We're taking over.
When
you're playing F1 Manager, driving the car or are you the manager and you're just like you're building a team? Do you have to wear a tie? I mean, what is this?
I hire the drivers. I develop the car. I come up with the race strategy. It's a lot of work. Adam, you don't know, even selecting the tires for your race are very important. A lot of people don't know that.
Now, do you use your joystick to like walk into a tire store and buy the tires? I don't understand how you can play team manager through a video game.
Wouldn't that be great at the Indy 500 when you have to take your final pit stop? You have to send a guy out, and he has to buy four tires from Larry's Tire Expo out on 38th Street.
That's the
Oh my goodness.
Indy 500 Manager, the new game
from
PlayStation. Okay.
Absolutely. But yeah, I mean, once again, you would be mildly surprised that there are that many people gaming. The average age of players, according to this survey, is actually 37 years old.
Okay, well, that's, right in the middle of young and old. So it covers just about the entire country. In fact, two-thirds of it, from what I hear.
Yeah, and see, I mean, you're not actively gaming, and that's probably just fine. It just kind of shows, though, that there's kind of a game for everyone. I've bumped into some guys that they're total and completely addicted to two or three different games. And then there's other people that say, well, I would never, ever play that game in a million years. So there is a game for everyone.
Is there another manager game? You're on F1 Manager. Do they have Hardy's Manager?
Hardy's Manager would be good. You have to make sure you get the right condiments on the burger.
You can't run out of buns.
There is a very famous game that gets played by, this is mostly European based, but there is a game where you are a professional soccer manager. And as you might imagine, during the World Cup season, games like this are pretty popular.
I bet that is popular with the FIFA party happening right now.
That's right. You got to get involved, man. That begins, by the way, around the country, I think this week. And well, there will be games this weekend.
This past Friday night was America's first game. I think we played Paraguay on Friday night in the World Cup. So good luck to everybody watching and cheering. Hope your team wins. Hope your team is the U.S. team, especially during this 250th birthday year that we're having.
Yeah, as somebody said, Paraguay, they're not from around here.
They're not from here.
No, they aren't. It's a long commute, as we like to say. Well, you probably have noticed that grocery prices have not fully come down to where everybody would like to see them. So Amazon is offering customers a tempting prize, a chance to win free groceries for a year, in the form of a $10,000 gift card.
Ooh, I want to win that. Tell me how.
Well, see, Adam would take the $10,000 gift card and buy Halloween candy. He wouldn't actually buy any other groceries.
That is true. If it's not specifically groceries, then there's some other stuff on Amazon I'm buying.
Absolutely. If you go between now and June 22nd, Amazon account holders can enter by spending at least $15 on Amazon grocery, opting in for text, or clicking a button on the promotion page each day, and 100 winners will be notified by email. So they are going to have 100 national winners for groceries for a year.
All right, let's hurry up and get this show over with so I can get on my Amazon account and enter to win this thing.
Yeah, as I like to say, start clicking those buttons. Whatever it is, I'm agreeing to all of it.
So far, of the three stories we've covered today, I'm most likely to apply to win a gift card from Amazon. I'm most likely to maybe play a video game. Least likely, run 50 marathons.
There you go. I've taken a look at all the activities and have narrowed it down to these.
Let's see where the show goes and see if I can participate in any more of our stories.
Probably not too surprising that people are searching out a very nice prize of groceries for a year, because believe it or not, and this coincides with a story we've done before, a number of teenagers and young adults are not setting themselves up financially. It turns out many don't realize that once you leave the house, you've got to pay your own bills. New research suggests that even decades after leaving home, a lot of adults still are not able to handle their own finances.
That's a hard lesson to learn, some later than others, for sure.
Yeah, and it coincides with a couple of different issues. According to a new survey from Northwestern Mutual, about one in five adults admit that they don't expect to be financially independent ever. I know, Adam, you and I have talked a little bit about, you know, what types of things people deem as successful, but that sounds almost a bit depressing in my book.
Well, in financial independence, that means getting to the point where you do not have to work one second of the day, and you've got right. finances and wealth and capital built up for you to pay your bills and live a life without having to work one second of the day. I can see how a lot of people are thinking that maybe they won't be that I don't think that's a horrible thing to say. I don't think I'll be financially independent. What I'm hearing there, Jay, is I think I like to work, and I'll be earning a living until the day I die. And I know that sounds, maybe that is depressing if you think, yeah, I'm not thinking about a 98-year-old digging ditches, but I'm just thinking if you're 85 and you love your job and you don't have $1 million in the bank, you know, you just keep working and use it or lose it.
I mean, that's the other way to look at it as well.
I think a lot of people retire and stop working, and then they're, you know, they're just slowly waiting to die. So
yeah,
use it or lose it is kind of what my strategy is, and I hope to be financially independent someday, but if I'm not and I've got to keep working, I like my job, I'll do it.
Yeah, at this point, according to Northwestern Mutual's research, they spoke to 4,300 adults across the country. 42% of U.S. adults still depend on their parents for some form of financial support.
Ooh, now that's okay. I think, yeah, I wasn't thinking of it that way. Financial independence then is something you should shoot for. You shouldn't be a full-grown adult relying on your full-grown adult parents to finance your life.
Yeah, you feel a little bit bad for those that are still dependent on your parents, and then you kind of feel bad for the parents because obviously they want to help their kids, but yeah, so it's a catch-22. We are doing a little bit better financially in the world, so maybe we'll get some real relief after all this. Adam, I know you are a workout kind of guy, and you probably know this. You've got to use your body as you get older if you expect to have a great life after the age of 40.
Use it or lose it. We just said that.
That is correct.
Yes, whether
absolutely.
It's your mind or your body, you got to keep it working.
Yeah, if you are over the age of 40, prepare yourself. These aren't huge tips, but you know, they have worked for us in the past. Use it or lose it, as Adam says. Stay active. Keep your muscles and joints challenged and mobile. They are saying that strength does help. It preserves muscle mass, boosts your metabolism, and supports the health of your bones. And it also helps stabilize your mind. So a little bit of weight training. I don't think you need to take it quite to the Arnold Schwarzenegger level of weight training, but a little bit of weight training is a good thing.
Yeah, you don't necessarily need a 28-inch neck, but you know, do some push-ups, get that
what
muscle mass going.
What are you talking about? I must need the 28-inch neck.
We are here to pump you up.
You up, and they say use pace and patience. As you grow older, the results don't come as quickly as they once did. Don't get frustrated. They'll happen. Now, if you are like me and you say, wow, after dinner, I'm just going to sprawl on the couch. Well, that may be affecting your sleep.
Okay.
What you do after dinner is kind of indicative of how well and the quality of your sleep. So if you've been having a little bit of trouble sleeping lately, part of the problem is people like to kind of crash out after a meal. And, well, this says possibly doom scroll. So you and I know the combo of you just ate, now you're sitting, now you're making yourself get wound up because social media is not always your friend. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, you know, there's some a lot of anxiety in the posts that you could read or the rabbit holes you go down, and all of a sudden you're all worked up too.
Yes, so it will affect your sleep. Here's the suggestion for after dinner, possibly take a light walk if that is possible. I know, Adam, you're a big walker. You'd probably recommend that.
You know, we walk nearly every single evening in
good.
Our neighborhood. We've kind of got it down to a science as to how long or far we want to walk. We'll know which cul-de-sacs to go down to make it a 3-mile walk. We know where to go if we only want to walk a mile. And depending on the weather, certainly the sunlight, but if it's going to rain, we take that mile walk with an umbrella. If it's sunny and we want to see that beautiful sunset, that's most likely to turn into a 3 or 3.5 mile walk. And again, these aren't power walks or speed walks. We're not killing ourselves or sweating to death. We're just walking.
Yeah. So a light walk is a great idea, especially in the evening hours, if that works for you. If you are in an area of the country where climate-wise you can do that. They also say you should think about creating a calming wind down routine. As with anything, a routine helps to build habits. And some of the suggestions they have are read something that's significant and not controversial. Meaning, you and I know, Adam, you can read stuff and get yourself all riled up, or you can read like one of the books you and I always used to chat with other people about. There's a book called The Four Agreements. And I'm not promoting that book, but that would be an example of a book you could read and maybe put yourself in a much calmer state.
Okay.
I don't know if you remembered that book or not, but you and I used to talk about it quite a bit. It was basically one man's sort of philosophy that if you had four major areas in your life in agreement with how you lived your life, then you were better off as a person.
I do recall you bringing that up. Yes.
Yeah. And, once again, I'm not promoting the book, but that would be an example of something you could put into your routine. And then here's one. Sounds kind of counterintuitive. Drink some water. If you stay hydrated throughout the day, a little bit of water sort of helps you stay hydrated and end up being a little sleepier at night.
I just took a drink since you said that. I can't.
Well, you've hydrated yourself for an entire month or an entire minute.
I can't hear you or anyone say, don't forget to drink water without taking a drink of my water. That's right in front of me, of course. But it's just like if you said, you know, watch your posture.
Yes.
You'll immediately sit up straight.
Right. It's a Pavlovian response,
for sure. It absolutely is Pavlovian. So next time we're together, just say water and you'll watch me. I'll hit the dog dish and start drinking water.
Say water and ring a bell. South Carolina is being ranked as the best state for military retirees to live in. We like to talk about those that helped us get to where we are and have helped keep our country free. So according to a new Wallet Hub study, which ranked the best states for military retirees, and it was based on factors such as quality of life, economic environment, healthcare, and lack of taxation on military pensions.
Okay.
That's becoming a big issue, and I think one that we have to look at.
That makes so much sense, the lack of taxation on your military pension. The first thing I thought of when you said it's the best state for vets to retire in is I thought of that must be where the most free meals are for veterans, like at the, you know, the Golden Corral over Veterans Day weekend or Memorial Day weekend, they'll have a free meal for a vet and their spouse. I thought, well, heck, maybe there's just all kinds of free stuff all over the state. Imagine? If you can prove you were in the military, you get a free tank of gas.
Yeah, it's quality of life issues, but you and I know getting a free meal, come on.
You know, tax my pension or not, you're going to give me a free meal at the Golden Corral? Sign me up.
Absolutely. South Carolina took the top spot. That is followed by North Dakota, Wyoming, New Hampshire, and Maryland. I thought that was interesting because you and I know a number of people that are ex-servicemen and have served their country.
Boy, it's so interesting, too. North Dakota is certainly beautiful. But when you think about veterans, especially like elderly veterans, you compare the climate, say, from mid-November till early March in South Carolina versus North Dakota. That's a no-brainer on which state's going to win that one.
Yeah, well, you and I know you can't always equate climate, you know, because it is difficult. Many states have certainly better climates. They don't always have the right government structures, you know. Yeah. You know how that goes. Worst state for military retirees, Oregon, Vermont, and Washington, D.C., which you would think Washington, D.C. would be a great place for military. There are a number of military bases within 2 hours of D.C., but it is not particularly good for veteran retirees.
I bet when they get their pension, before they can get back from the mailbox to their house, there is a politician on their porch with their hand out. So
my guess is, without knowing more about Washington, D.C., it does come down to exactly taxation, and that is sort of one of the things that we have very little control over in our country.
What? Also, there might not be any Golden Corrals in the D.C. metro area.
You're hitting on something about this, is that Golden Corral, not just good for vets, it's good for all of us.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Like nice golden. Now you're making me hungry for Golden Corral.
I was just going to say the same thing. I might hit a Chinese buffet before the sun sets tonight.
Oh, if you are, this is our story to wrap things up on this week. We certainly hope everything's going great for you guys and you're enjoying the weather and you know, the atmosphere and your family as we head into the heart of summer. But believe it or not, a number of workers are just tired at work. They're yawning and dragging after lunch. Believe it or not, there's a sort of a fountain of youth to all this. Literally, it's about hydration. They have found that workers that are hydrated are not only more alert, but technically more productive. So something as simple as hydration.
We've touched on staying hydrated quite often, quite a bit in this half hour broadcast. So,
always drink water in moderation.
And consult your physician. Yes, you don't want to.
Can you imagine after listening to the show, you go, man, I drank so much water, I couldn't even get home. I had to stop at the nearby convenience store and use their restroom.
Do you? Here's a little trick that I've learned through the years, Jadis.
Yes. What's your little trick?
Well, you mentioned drink water before you go to bed, or if you drink water, it'll help you sleep. I sometimes will drink enough liquids in the evening that I probably could go to the restroom before I go to sleep. In fact, I might even feel like it, but I don't. Because I know if I have an early meeting the next day, having that feeling of needing to go to the bathroom will get me out of bed easier because there's an urgency to wake up and get going. If I don't have to go to the bathroom, I might sleep till noon.
Oh, interesting.
Does that ring any bells for you? Have you ever done that?
I have not, but
it makes total sense. If you try that at home listening to our listeners, consult your physician. Maybe that's not the best advice anyone could give, but it does help me get up in the morning, I'll tell you that.
I realize that I'm wrapping up a little too soon here. I'm looking at the wrong clock. We still have a few minutes.
We got a couple minutes left. I can tell some more bathroom stories, but we've got a couple minutes if you've got one more.
We want to keep you hydrated. We want to keep you happy. Just wanted to mention, didn't want to sound too somber, but this is the time of the year because people are out and about a lot more where the need for blood is greatly increased. So if there is a regular blood drive around your work or around some places that, like even clubs have blood drives, certainly the American Red Cross has blood drives and has mobile blood donation vehicles. But this is a great time of year because the need is far greater to potentially give blood. So if it's something you've thought about that you need to sort of do more, this is the great time to think about that.
That makes total sense. You know, in the winter, when the sun sets at 5 p.m. and you're sitting on your couch all night, there's not really much risk to your health. But like we were talking about earlier, even just a simple walk in the evening, you're walking 3 miles after dinner, you could fall. There's injuries. There's need for blood. Definitely this time of year. That is great advice, Jay. We know about the blood shortage that's been happening over the past several months. So it's certainly something to think about during these, I guess, longer day months that we're heading into where you're going to be outside risking your health more.
Yeah, as we always used to say during this time of year, this is the time of year where the guy that says, hey, look at this, is the guy that gets injured and then needs blood at his local hospital.
Hey, you guys, watch this. Yeah, that's the
guy. That guy is out and about.
He's, yes. You know what? He's fun to be around. But sometimes he's not.
Everything's fun until he gets injured.
I had a friend, we always said, when you're with him, it's the great, you could have the greatest night of your life or you could have the worst night of your life. And more often than not, Jay, it was the same night. The same night was the greatest night and the worst night of your life when you went out with this guy. So, all right. Well, Jay, appreciate you coming on and all the stories you share with myself, with the listeners. We try to have a good time and we cover public affairs in style, hopefully. If you want to hear previous shows we have, they're on demand on our website, including this one. The website is adamritzshow.com.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit AdamRitzShow.com.